Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
Yeah, they're all day.
No!
That's why he's so good.
I was calling for her dogs. Darcy, she obviously turned to it. That is the biggest ick.
What are you up to? And this time she goes to London for a wank.
Mine
was drinks of water. And Jamie? I swear to God, I'm like, ew.
That's the moment you knew he's the man for me.
I'm like, he's going to be my husband.
Hello and welcome to The Therapy Crouch with me, Abby Clancy.
Me, Peter Crouch.
And we've got some very gorgeous guests today.
Yes, we do.
We've got Sophie and Jamie from the Newlyweds podcast.
Hi guys, how are you?
Hello everyone, how are you?
I always find the beginning of podcasts always that weird bit where it's like...
Did I just say hi to the listeners instead of you guys? Hi guys.
Yeah. Well, we've done hellos in there, let's be honest.
Yeah, we've done hellos.
But how are you doing?
Guys, we're good. We just drove down here. I'm learning to drive at the moment.
You still can't drive?
I still can't drive.
Abby, he can't drive.
We were driving towards your house and we suddenly like, well, you're going to have all these like smart cars and things like that. And we drove
Don't because my husband's too tight. He doesn't believe in cars.
We drove this little Fiat 500 here, which is, it's like a little bubble. And we call it, we've named it?
Fanny.
We named it Fanny the Fiat. Because Sophie thinks it's hilarious because you say you're going to park my fanny.
Yeah, but it's good.
Oh my God.
But it's a good car to have in London.
Yeah.
I had a Mini called Sasha. That was my first car, but I wrote it off.
Did you? I also
had a terrible crash.
I had a Mini off as well. Yeah, I drove into a tree. I had my dog.
Fucking hell.
I had my dogs in the back. And they got really excited because there was a sheep in the field next to me and they jumped over my face and I drove.
Yeah, but I don't know if Sophie. I can say she's the worst driver I've ever.
Can't drive.
Yeah, but when I drive, I'll be better than you. Yours is like so bad to the point where we live on Portobello Road. Right, it's a one way road. It's one way. Every single time she turns in, she goes up towards the people.
Yeah.
Towards them.
We're right at the end, so it's okay because it's swinging around the park.
I just stop outside shops now when we're driving. I just stop like as the road's going and just to look in the window. And Pete's like, you can't just stop in the middle of the road.
Like, she does like precisely what she wants. So like if you'll see something nice in the window, she'll literally like come to a full stop and go, look at that couch, Pete. And I'll go, I'm looking in the mirror going, fucking hell, just move on.
He thinks he's going to die.
It's unbelievable, yeah. Like, stops her, she's just like, applying makeup when the light's on green.
Same as you. It's like when we're following the sat-nav, and we're following the sat-nav to go somewhere, and the sat-nav will say, turn right at the next turning. And Sophie will just carry on straight. She'll carry on straight. And I'll be like, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm following that car. You don't know it. It's just a random car.
Don't know where
you
they're going.
I do often find myself just dazing. And then I realise I've been following the car in front of me. It's like that.
Oh,
as though
God.
I know them.
I do that.
Ooh, wow. What am I doing?
Was that not an ick for you that you couldn't drive?
Yeah, slightly. It really was.
Sorry.
Why can't you drive? Why did you... not do it.
I don't know.
You're 35?
Yeah, 35.
Well, tell me.
I know.
How many times have you passed or failed your theory test?
I booked my theory test 70 times.
70?
70. I could have bought a mini Toyota.
But you haven't failed 70. You've just not been able to make it.
Just not turn off.
I failed a lot. But I never read the, or like revised it. So what I did, my tactic was just to turn up and... like, I'll get them wrong.
Hope they
know. And then I'd be like, well, I got that one wrong. I'll change it for the next one. So then that would be the way that I did it.
That's how you revise through tests.
That's a great theory.
It was, but you couldn't pass first time, did you?
I passed that first time and I got 3 points, that's it. And not 3 points, you know, three minors.
But your theory.
Sorry, what do you mean you can pass first time? Of course I passed.
I did a crash course. One day, I forgot my money to get lunch. So it's like 6 hours a day driving. And we used to go to this Tesco car park and go into the Tesco cafe. And I forgot my money. And bearing in mind, I was going to be with him the whole week. I was like, can you lend me money? This is before like Apple Pay and all of that. And he was like, no. So he just sat and ate a big sausage butty in front of me and I was starving. I couldn't concentrate driving or anything for the rest of the day.
I ate it in front of her.
And then he'd go to me.
Didn't even get a sandwich.
This was up in Cheshire and we used to drive down all these country roads and he'd go, I could kill you now and no one would know. I swear to God.
No, you know where.
I remember she came home crying one day. Weird. I called him. I had to call him. I said, what are you doing? Talk to my wife like that. Madman. And then he was going, what are you talking about now?
He was going, yeah, I could kill you now and no one would know in this country lane. And I was traumatised. Bearing in mind, I couldn't drive. So I couldn't escape anyway.
Just looking
like. Yeah. I just couldn't drive, like literally. But even when she was ready for a test, she went to a test and I went, oh my God, how am I going to console her? Driver I've ever seen. There's absolutely no way she's passing this test.
She was the biggest Britain's Next Top Model fan. So she wasn't looking at the road. She was just going, oh, so what was Olivia like? Oh, what was Nicky Johnson like? So the whole time I could have been going through red lights.
She was driving on the pavement.
And she just was like, hey, stop!
Yeah.
And I passed. I was like, love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to, just because we're getting to that stage now, we're married, you know, maybe kids. And I can't just be, as a parent, if I'm turning up to the school and I can't, they get on my Vespa. And
you on your Vespa.
Yeah, but you've had a few problems with the Vespa, didn't you? On the motorway, I was laughing my head.
That was driving this way, to here.
Yeah.
Where it was actually, I've said it before, I said it, it was the scariest thing that's ever, I think, ever happened to you. Sophie was so scared.
Were you on
she
it as
well?
She
was on the back. I was in a pair of shorts and a strappy top and my helmet, blow-dried hair, and my head was, honestly, the wind, the helmet was hanging off by a string because it was so fast.
Can I say what happened? What happened was we got on my Vespa. It's 125cc. It's like top speed, like 50 miles an hour. And when it gets to 50, it starts to shake like that. And I would say, I'll take the sat nav. We'll go, you know, around here where our friends are, where you guys live. And I was like, fine.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have Apple headphones, which I have a wire on it. It's a bit uncomfortable. Amazing. I thought we were going to take little roads. Somebody goes, you're going on the M4. I don't drive, so I'm on the M4.
He turns around and he goes to me, what does M stand for? I went, motorway. Next thing we know, lorry. Every car.
No.
Going on to that, is it called the hard shoulder, whatever that thing is? That thing where you go onto the motorway. You can't go fast as all the cars.
Oh my God, this is making me feel sick.
So we pulled into a service station. People in the service station were freaking out.
Guess
we
surely could go to them.
No, you got, because it was a mistake. We didn't mean to do it. And we pulled into the service station. People in the service station freaking out because they'd never seen a Vespa pull into a service station. Sophie was so scared she couldn't talk.
Oh.
You had gone silent on the back. And then we go back onto the road and we drive. And I was like, don't worry. And we drive on, we go round, and I go on to something. It said the M25, and I had to go on to that. That was like five lanes. Yes. The best part.
Outrageous. I've done the bike taxi before, where you sit on the back, you go through London, when you need to get somewhere like the airport or something. So yeah. I'm at a football match, and I've got to get to the airport in like, 45 minutes. So I get on the back of the thing, and I forgot that obviously when you get through London, that's amazing. But then when you get on the motorway, I'm now on the back of a motorbike doing 70. And I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm like, wait, do I hold him?
You have to hold him.
So I'm like holding him around his belly, and around his like belly, and he's going, hell are you doing? He's like talking to me, like going, what, are you all right? And I was going, well, I'm a bit scared.
Oh my God, no way.
It's like
I'm scared. I'm doing 70 and I hold the winds in my face.
It's like going on a roller coaster. You know when you go on a roller coaster and you go, woo!
Yeah, like that.
Doing that is like when you hold the side things.
Oh no.
What you do is you just click.
I just held him for dear life and I actually shut my eyes for most of it.
I could never do that. I've never been on a motorbike.
Oh, it was horrific.
I'm not one of them girls who are like into motorbike men.
Oh God, no more, nor me, Harry no, and Harley no, Davidson.
Like, it's just like
just two, a Vespa for meal day.
Yeah, no. Just a Vespa.
Give me a Vespa, man. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like we've got carried away with driving, really. There, but I think maybe she, what was she getting to you two, right? How did you meet? You were on reality TV, right?
Yeah.
Is that where you met, or did you know each other before that?
So Jamie, for ages, wanted me to say that we met before that, but the truth is we met on the Asian Chat.
Okay,
yeah. But you fancied me a little bit before that.
No, I didn't. We were just, you know,
you won it beforehand.
Yeah.
He was on it for like 10 years. He's
10 years?
10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So you used to have posters of me on a wall.
I did 3 years.
I used to have posters of Pete on my wall.
Did you?
I used to look at him in the paper though and be like, oh, he's lovely. Mm. He needs rescuing.
Was there any point where you saw me?
I definitely thought you were fun. You looked really happy and laugh. Like, you know, I thought you'd
rather you'd be horrible and be gorgeous.
I thought you looked bubbly.
You're joking.
No, but
that's what you thought.
But then when I met you, we became really good friends.
Yeah, well, we're married now. Like, it's like we're like coming back together, a reunion or something. Like we're married.
We became really good friends, and I remember I came home from this away trip that we did, and I said to my sister, "Oh my God, I love Jamie. I could marry him." She says she remembers that.
Aww. Yeah.
Well, I remember. We were really good friends on the show, and truthfully, I just didn't want like our story to be that. I was like, "How lame? We met on a reality show." Like, oh God. But actually, it's like our story, and I remember I just felt like we were such good friends, and then this is when it happened. We're in South Africa, and you walked out in a bikini, and I was suddenly like, oh, I was like, oh my God, you're a girl.
By the way, I've been on 2 bikini holidays with you before.
Yeah, but,
and when we look back at it, you were like, you definitely changed the South Africa one. I'm like, perfect. Yeah.
You said you look really hot, and so then I suddenly became really awkward.
You probably fancied her at that point, then.
And then I became more. I remember I didn't really know what. I just became really awkward, so I didn't really know what to do around her. So
you followed me like a lost puppy. So I think you became awkward.
I did become awkward. I had to get drunk to talk to you.
That was the
reason. I had to get drunk to talk to her. Then I started like I'd get drunk and then share your bed with you. And you were just like, who's this like person in the bed? And I would just spoon you all night. That's what
I remember one night we all got drunk and we went to sleep, and I don't know why he was sleeping in my room, and he sort of like headlocked me. And Jamie, when he gets drunk, does this thing where I say goes ghost. So there's nothing behind the eyes. I'm like, hello, and he'll be like, all right, oh God, time to go to bed. Bear in mind, I didn't know, he wasn't my husband then. So I was like, what the hell's going on with him?
Was he your boyfriend at this point?
No. They're like friends, but like not friendly enough to share my bed. Yeah. Anyway, he's in my bed. I'm like, this is weird.
Sounds a bit creepy.
You headlock me in like your sleep. And I was like, okay, just pretend you're asleep. And then you thrash the duvet off you, and he's obviously scrambling around for water because he's so parched in the middle of the night from being so drunk. And I see him go over, I open one eye, I'm like, don't want him to know I'm awake. I see him go over to a vase with flowers in it. He takes the flowers out and he drinks the vase water. And
Jamie?
I swear to God, I'm like, ew.
That's the moment you knew he's the man for me.
I'm like, he's gonna be my husband.
That is just, I remember that's kind of when we first met. Mm. It was the day before, one of our first dates, and I was going on Britain's Next Top Model. Mm. It was like the first day, and we'd been out the night before, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to drink the night before going on the TV show. Ended up getting pissed, obviously. And then Pete just stayed there like all night, and I just wanted to get rid of him. And I couldn't get ready until he'd gone. So he was just like casually lying around the next morning, like talking. I'm like, I need to get ready to go.
She just said, piss off.
No, but I didn't know you well enough to, like, but the whole, like, it was 2 single beds that we pushed together. So Pete was like down the crack all night. And then it was me and the other
the
one.
Bed.
Yeah. He wasn't down my crack. Then he finally left. And I was like, thank God, get you out, get ready. And then there was a knock on the door. And he come back in and just vomited everywhere.
Yeah. You know, because I've been lounging around for like ages, you know what I mean? And then when I stood up, that's when I went, oh. But then I left, and then I went, oh my God. And now I'm in the hallway. I'm
either
going to go downstairs or I've got to run back in. So yeah, I just knocked and then I flew in and just threw up and then left.
You didn't think fancy this girl, but
I did, yeah, but it was a split second decision. You know what I mean?
When it comes.
Onto the floor. No, straight. I
ran straight to the bathroom. Thank God.
Yeah, and then I went right, and then I had to do the awkward like, "See you later, babe."
But he's I'll such a loud vomiter. The loud vomit makes me sick. It's like,
call me.
That noise, and I was like, oh my god,
dry, retching, and then walking out and acting all cool. Yeah.
And then all your mates are like, obviously, all your mates are like asking the question, like, how'd it go, and all that. And I'm going, you know, like, I think it went really well. There was one little bit at the end,
just a little
bit where I ran and threw up everywhere, which wasn't so good. But,
then you were like, he's the one,
he's the one. Yeah, he's the one.
But when you guys kissed for the first time, was it like, was there like sparks there?
Yeah,
because I think that does work. Not to be cheap. God, what? All right. Well, when we first kissed, it was like, no. All right, nothing.
It was. I just don't know. Ooh, uncomfortable.
No. We did. Okay. Yeah. Well, honestly, this is too intimate. I'll say it anyway.
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was for us, wasn't it as well?
Yeah.
When
we took me to the pub opposite his house, to an old man's pub, thinking he was like going to get me drunk and get lucky. He was like, "That's my flat. See that window? That's my flat." And I was like, but we had our first snog in there. And I remember you went to the loo and I called our Fran, Ross's mum, my auntie. It was like being on, you know, first dates or whatever. Yeah. First dates. Is it first dates?
Yeah. Could you call me?
And she was like, do you need rescue? And I'm like, no, he's actually all right.
I did, when we first got intimate, I'm not, we intimate. I mean, what am I saying?
I just don't want you to continue. I'm
enjoying it.
When we first got intimate. We're in the countryside at my mum's house the other day, and I was calling for her dogs. Darcy, she honestly turned to me and went, that is the biggest ick, you calling for your mum's dogs.
No, I hate.
So I had to go, Darcy.
I hate men doing like baby voices. He'll be like, Darcy, bust. I'm like, vomit.
We've got a friend like that with a dog called Rita, and he if you leave him, he's like, everyone say bye to Rita.
Rita. Everyone has to kiss
the dog and say bye to Rita.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves is when people think they want you to like kiss their dogs. And they send you 100 photos. I'm like, sweet, but enough.
I think the same with children though as well. I like my own kids.
Yeah.
But when people send me loads of pictures of their kids,
so
I'm like,
not to, though. Like, you know, it's like,
and what?
Something like kids are kids. You look at, especially a newborn for me, you go like, that's just another newborn.
It is.
For me. And they go, well, let's put your eyes in. It's just a baby.
Same for me. And also, a lot of our friends are having kids at the moment, and they hand it to you. It's like holding a heavy jacket potato. It's hot.
So I love it.
I love new babies.
Really?
Yeah. I'd have another one, but Pete said no.
Would you?
Oh, yes. Come on. We've got four. Like, come on.
Pete, why are you saying no?
What are you joking?
Why are you saying
what, five?
Can you
why
tell are you saying about
five's
kids?
Not normal?
It's her body. She can do what
I know.
Five's a great number. I said I wanted five.
Really? Mm. Are you on that page? Like, obviously, you got married. The worst thing is when you get married and it's like the neck on everyone's onto the next thing now.
Yeah, when you have kids and you.
Yeah. And I hate asking it, but I just have.
I'm kind of on that page. You're not quite on that page.
Not quite there.
I think I am.
But I think ultimately, it's probably.
Pete had never thought about having kids until he had ours. You know, he wasn't one of them men to be like, I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to have kids. It was kind of more my dream.
Mm.
But you're the best dad now. And you love him.
I wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that I kind of was on my radar massively. But then obviously having them like just changes that completely.
Is it great?
It's amazing. It's absolutely.
Be honest.
There are times when you're like, oh my God, why have we done this to ourselves? You know,
we laugh now. Like we have these ideas, you know, let's all take a trip down to Longleat. It's, you know, 2-hour drive. It's going to be magical. We can feed the killing each other in the car for 2 hours, the fighting, he's got his toe on me, I'm squashed, I'm hungry, I need a wait. And we just look at each other and laugh now because we're like,
you know when it gets ridiculous? You go like, you have to actually laugh at the situation we've created.
I reckon you're quite good. I reckon you're quite relaxed with the kids.
I'm not.
So, no, I actually remember I was laughing so much because you guys were saying in one of your podcasts about how you were at the park and everyone's like, come on, you know, and it's that sort of thing.
Wait, what happened? Like, what do you mean?
Like everyone's just like so posh and
like the London parks, and it's just mayhem.
And like
really.
The mum's got like sick on her. Do you know what I mean? She's going, "Oh, Rupert, stop! Don't do that, Rupee." He's throwing up on her. You know, one of them's pissing in the corner, and you're like, "What? How have we got ourselves in this position where we're all running around a park, harassed? No one's hairs everywhere. You know what I mean? This sick on them. It's like, why have we done this?
Why?
To
it's like snookering yourself.
Yeah.
No, it is. And it's like even like this Saturday night, we had to stay in because, you know, trying to get a babysitter for four kids is impossible. My mum turns her phone off every weekend. Like, literally, I have no contact with my mum on a weekend.
Yeah.
She doesn't answer to me. And then she's like, "Oh, sorry, my phone was, I've left my phone in the car."
Monday morning when they're in school. "Oh, sorry, did you need me?"
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
So we had to stay in and we thought, how can we entertain ourselves? So we started prank calling people and all our friends were like out in bars, and me and the Sophia and Liberty were just playing this like Chinese restaurant order down the phone to people.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Oh, we had such a good time.
Like, does it work?
Yeah, Sophia did it to us. And she's 12 now, so she's like, she was in on the game with us. You know what I mean? So like, we're all sitting there, me, Liberty, Sophia,
bottle of wine,
Abby, bottle of wine. Obviously, they weren't having the bottle of wine.
Everyone's got a bottle of wine.
They were doing all the pranking, and we were just, I was calling like football people. I was calling like everyone that I on my thing. It was everyone was going for it. It was brilliant. It's like, you need to come and pick up your order after the Chinese.
And but loads of people were going, "Sorry, mate, where are you? Like, should I come and pick it up?" And we were like, "You haven't ordered it? Like, why are you saying, like, where should you come to? What's the address?" We were getting,
oh, it's brilliant.
Some of our friends were like, "What's the address? I'm 5 minutes away." We were like, "You haven't ordered it? Like, you're just obviously that pissed in a pub."
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I love it. That's how your Saturday night is now.
That's how it was, yeah.
That's how, we,
there's a lot of home drinking going on because we can't go out.
Yeah, I don't think we'd mind that so much.
No, not at all.
I think we are thinking about it. I haven't said this. Did I tell you this? I went to a, we talk about it. So I decided to go and get, we chat about it on our podcast about fertility. So I was like, okay, fine, maybe we're going. So I went to go and check my eggs. What is it? I go and check my sperm. I go and check my sperm.
Not your eggs.
Did I tell you this though?
That's a weird scenario.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Okay, not as weird as this. I'll tell you two reasons why it was weird. First reason was, I arrived at the fertility place, and I walked in, and I was like, "This is a bit weird." Like, because it had like planes and like posters, like travel, and I was like, "This is..." And I walked up to the counter, I was like, "Hi, Jamie Lang here for the fertility check." And they went, "Huh?" And I went, "Isn't this the..." It was a travel company. So I was like, "Oh," and they were like, "Not here." And I was like, "Okay, sorry." So that was pretty weird. Then I go downstairs and there's this person there doing the fertility check, and I'm like, "Okay." And she takes you into the room. And when they take you into the room, they know what you're about to
do. I know. I can't look them in the eye. It's like, and then worst thing is, there's a couple of fellas in front of me. I'm thinking, "Oh, you pervert."
Yeah, but I think it's mad the way you just have to go in and then bring it out and give it back to the girl.
Okay.
It's so creepy and seedy.
So weird.
And
so
we actually went and did it together, weirdly, a couple of years ago.
Were you in the room?
No, but when he came out, I just didn't like him.
I know what you've just done.
I'm thinking about you.
That's what I said to me.
Furiously scrolling.
I know. I was a bit jealous of that, actually.
Oh my God.
I was angry with you.
I had a call. Like, someone said, what are you up to? And he said, "I'm just going to London for a wank."
Mine was worse. So she takes you into the room. And you know how you would fluff a duvet?
Oh, no.
Like that. There was a seat, and she had like a thing, and she put like an inside is like a loose seat on the chair. She fluffed it out like that.
Like a waterproof sheet.
Yeah, and then she put that on thing and they leave you to it.
No, it's hideous.
And quite casual. As soon as you do whatever happens and you screw on the lid, you put it on there, there's a bell. You get everything ready. Zip up to the top. You got your headphones in, you got your keys ready, and you go, "Ding dong."
Then you are gone. I'm like,
and then I was out of there so quick.
So true.
And she was shouting to me and I was just ignoring her. I just got out and they phoned me. They said hi and they said, "Sorry, was there any spillage?"
Oh my God. No. They're having a wind up there, 100%. You must be.
Vile.
Oh God, it's an intense thing to go through. That
it is.
I used to send you all the time.
Yeah, because we had obviously.
It took us ages to get pregnant.
We obviously managed it in the end, but the first one took us two and a half years. Really?
Really? Yeah. So I was sending Pete. It's definitely you.
Yes, I was. Oh my God, trotting up to London again.
skipping to London. Yeah, but I had endometriosis, so I had to.
Oh, okay.
I had so many tests, and he was like, you know, your tubes aren't blocked. You had to put all dye through, blah blah blah. And in the end, I had to when the results come back, I had to get the operation, get it cleared out, and then we got pregnant. But you know, that was, you know, I had no symptoms or anything. Mm. So you know, 2 years go every month going, why aren't we pregnant?
Yeah,
it was
that's sad.
So
that's
scary.
Upsetting.
Well, it's weird. Really you just think, right, we're ready now. You know, like, let's just have a baby.
You could just and spend you your whole life trying you not know. To get pregnant.
And then it's like 1-2 days a month. Don't know, yeah. Something it's, that you even can. Mm, it's crazy and you never know. Yeah, well, that's why we're sort of...
You would do it now. You would be, I think you would want to go you for should, it now, I think.
Well...
I think.
Yeah, but should we just
carve
it? The only advantage of it, not the only advantage. There's loads of advantages having kids, but the one thing is that I think you'd be quite up for it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He thought I was using him. Yeah.
By the end, I was like, no, this is like too transactional.
That's not the right word.
You're going like, get upstairs now, like I'm ovulating. And I was going like, I'm not a piece of meat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was like, I'm not a piece of meat. You can't use me for my sperm. Feelings.
I'm like, you've got to like wine and dine me. I mean...
The first few weeks.
I'm just going to go and procreate. I mean, take me out for dinner.
But now you know how I feel when you just say that to me.
I get that now. I get that.
You're going to see how the tables turn what I feel like all the time.
Yeah, it's so true.
You don't feel like... I think Sophie has a thing. Yours is like a rejection. Then when you give in, you go, ugh. And it's like... I said it again. There was one time when she was like, oh, okay. And I got on top of her and she went, oh, get on with it. Are you joking?
I think that's normal.
After a meal, it was probably like Sunday night. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree with
the right time.
You don't make me feel sexy. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, like, goes both ways. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
He just texts me like a beaver and an aubergine. And I'm just like, no.
No, it's absolutely not.
And a splash.
I'm just testing. That's just what I'm testing.
Emoji, beaver, splash.
Plus,
it has to go the right way. Beaver, splash, aubergine.
No, beaver, no, aubergine, the splash.
Splash. Goes on, but that's the way it goes.
I heard you say this the other day, which is so true. You just said if you came back and Abby was just naked, it'd be wonderful.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, I said that. Yeah,
I've got four. Do you think I'm just going to walk around naked? I've got 7 million builders in the house. I've got 4 kids, the dogs, the cat. I can't do anything in front of the cat.
You can't do it in front of the cat.
The cat just stays on our bed 24/7. It just like puts me off. Like that, looking at me.
But I think it's much easier.
No, not the cat. What do you do?
You have to lift her up. Proper mood killer.
She should put her against the, just to face the wall.
And then the door, and then she
turn around.
She scratches on the door like, and all I'm just thinking the whole time is
not the whole
just
time.
Just puts me off. That whole 10 seconds.
but if I the difference is if you arrive back. And I was there, just naked.
You're okay.
To the point where Sophie did this thing where we were, like I said, we were at my mum's house, and I was lying on the bed naked, and she was in hysterics. And I was naked. I was like, why? It's because she had been taking photos of me from this angle, which.
This is what I get to look at every day.
I look like Jabba the Hutt.
We got feelings, you know.
Men are a different breed to women.
Of course
and
we are.
You know
it's
what
different.
You like, we don't.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, if I come home and you were naked, I'd just be like, what on earth are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But it's just not the same.
I know, but it's totally different for us. Like if you're like, okay, I'll be like, this is incredible.
You die.
Yeah. Have a heart attack.
Delighted.
I'll be over the bin.
But what?
I'd be like, please don't sit on anything.
Yeah.
Well, you would actually be like that.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. I was naked the other day and you told me I had to sit on the floor. I had to sit on the wooden floor. I had to sit on the wooden floor.
Not on the sofa. Other people have to sit on it.
What do you think I'm going to do? Shit on it? Like, what's going on? Not for.
Like, I mean, you're just walking around like naked, like in the front room and stuff.
He walks around naked all the time. Yeah. And we live in Notting Hill. Like, windows are not, the curtains aren't always drawn. I'm like, it's just bizarre.
I actually have a bit of a phobia of it now. But I've told you this, so I'm sure I've told the story before, I'll say again. When I was younger, we were in we were in the Turks and Caicos, and I must have been about five or 6 years old. And we were living on like a community bit, so loads of different houses, and the kids used to play. And I think I obviously like fancied these like two other girls who used to, but I was six, so I didn't really understand. I really liked, they're a bit older than me. I also ran naked then, but I remember it so well. I went to the bathroom I went to do number two. Anyway, I then came out and I was in a rush and I came out and I started chasing the girls around and they were running away from me. And I was like, why are they running away from me? And I remember it so well. I came back to the house. I went, exhausted like that. I put my hat on. And I had I had wiped my mouth and smeared shit on my back. Chased these two girls.
Oh my God. They must have been fucking shitting themselves.
This
lunatic.
Why are they running?
Trying to wipe shit on us.
The poo monster.
Oh my god.
Have you found like doing the podcast and stuff as a couple, like, because you did yours before you got married. So I'll ask you about the podcast and also kind of how you feel like your dynamic, has it changed at all since you've been, you know, were unmarried to married?
Changed since we've been unmarried to married. I would say leading up to the wedding. Not fun with him wanting to create this podcast. And I was just like, chill out. And, you know, planning a wedding stressful. I'm not that organized. And I also don't love being center of attention. I don't have birthday parties and stuff. So that sort of pressure and then having you wanting to film and record every part of it was quite stressful. I much prefer doing the podcast now. Now that it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So for me, that's how it changed. It's much more relaxed.
I like it. I've always liked it. I think because it's fun. Like
you like center of attention.
Yeah. Well,
Pete loves being center of attention. Yeah.
Really?
Pete, you do everywhere we go, the robot comes out.
Just give the people.
I can't
give the people what they want. You know?
I can't.
Does he do it everywhere?
No, not everywhere.
Every time he's had it, or he's in a DJ booth. If we go to a club, he's in the booth with the headphones on, pretending to DJ. You know, he loves like dancing in front of people. Like,
that's after a few drinks. You're partial.
I'm quite loud, but I'm quite shy. Like, I don't like performing in front of people or doing anything like that.
We did the worm last time we were out on the dance floor and everyone was like literally around you.
Yeah, but that was people we knew. It wasn't strangers.
Every time we go out, she performs Shallow. You know the... Yeah, that one.
You sing it?
Yeah, she sings it every time
we
come out.
Can you sing?
No.
Can't try and sing it.
I think I can sing when I'm drunk.
I heard you sing. You can sing, can't you?
I'm honestly tone-deaf.
I heard you sing on the podcast before. That was right at the start, the latest one. You were like singing
at
the start.
Oh, you do. You sing it every time. You sing at the beginning. You always sing.
Why do you put that in? Yeah. I want it to be cut out. I honestly sing because we're rolling. And I'm like, we're rolling.
That's what I do as well.
Yeah. Yeah, she does that as well.
She's never, ever listened to an episode.
No, or up.
Never, ever?
No.
She's never listened to one. You don't even... Oh, we could put anything we want in it. We could literally put anything we want.
At the beginning, it was awful because we'd have arguments on that. I would actually physically cry. I'd be like, guys, I'm so upset. Obviously cut all of this out. And I'd listen back and me crying, having an argument, having a tantrum over nothing was all in there.
That was once.
That was bad.
The problem is that I'm an oversharer and Sophie is not an... overshare at all, so we had to find a balance. But at the beginning I was just sharing like everything, like anything and everything I was sharing, and you got upset by that, and it was just...
I feel like you guys have a better balance with that though.
I'm always in trouble for this, and like the headlines, I was saying to you off camera, like this week's headline was I love a filthy night in a hotel, and we'll tell you exactly what gets to go, and I'm like, papers make me out to be this absolute tramp.
If you, I was talking about
spatulas from Le Creuset. Like,
I really get excited about spatulas.
And that, I was so excited. We went to Bicester Village and I bought all new utensils for the kitchen literally so excited about it. And then they turned me into some hoe.
My favourite one was on the front page of one of the newspapers. Front page, by the way. It wasn't the main story, obviously. It was just a picture of Abby and a little bit. I'm a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed. was the headline.
I went, bad.
I was at the petrol station with the kids. I was like, oh my God. What the fuck did we say?
Because we were talking about being, you know, like,
A lifestyle.
Yeah. He was like, a lady in the street asleep in the bed.
Yeah.
Because, you say things on the podcast and out of context, he can sound so bad. But they always do these like sexual ones at me, and I'm so prude as well. I'm like, and then going to, have a meeting with the headmaster in school, knowing that you're on the front of the paper being a freak in the bed.
That's what I always think. Like, we say things on here because, like, like-minded people, or we're just on our own with our circle of people in here. And you say things because you just think, you realise you've got to go and see the teachers or people at the school gates and things like that. And you think, they listen.
It's important to be authentic, though. Like, when we decided to do this podcast, we were like, we don't want to be self-editing. We have to be ourselves, and...
Who wanted to do it more? Were you like, we should do it? Or how did it work?
Football podcast. Obviously, my podcast with the football, it was amazingly, it was great for me. And I just thought, and also with Ab, obviously people see pictures of her and, she's not kind of said much over the years. You know what I mean? She's done pictures of modelling.
Everyone laughs in the room.
Do you know what I mean? You haven't put your personality out there. You've been on TV shows, but you've never really kind of like opened up. And obviously, the Ab that I know at home is like very funny. And I think if you've got, people would have a misconception, especially with footballers and their wives. They think, there's a misconception, I think.
Gold digger bitch.
Yeah, there's an element of that, I think, there is a, and I just knew that at the moment people kind of saw Ab, that I knew it would be a good thing to do. And because I'd done one, I knew kind of how it worked a little bit. And then, it's easy for us. It's good for us, yeah.
It's like, obviously, we've got four kids. We're both busy working, having this time to just sit down and talk about all our old stories and how we met. And it's been great for us. It's fun.
But I think that's what the sort of ticket is, right? I have exactly the same. So when we were doing Nillyweds and then we obviously changed to Newlyweds, right? Same thing is like, so... did Main Chelsea, but that's like drama and stuff. Yeah. And I just knew how funny she was.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I got ever filmed doing was crying over boys. So I look like literally the worst person. Everyone hates me.
But she's so funny. And I was just like, God, we should definitely do this podcast because people would then, and I think what it is it's like this like success of your one as well, is it sort of, okay, everyone knows, Pete, you're funny, you're this, you're that. But then suddenly when you see that your wife or your partner is this powerful woman who also like, rules the roost as well and is funny and entertaining, and then everyone goes, oh my God, we love them, then it sort of almost propels it even more. And I think that's what happened with our one, is that people kind of knew that I was probably this energetic guy, but they were surprised with you and funny when they're like, oh my God, she's the funniest person in the world. And that was the sort of success of the podcast.
Yeah.
Did I just ramble for a bit?
I agree with that.
No, I totally agree with you.
I think that's what it was.
Mm. So with the Made in Chelsea stuff, obviously it's great for you to be able to just, now you're your own producers, right? You can say what you want here. There's no one telling you, well, they might every now and then say rein it in, but you can basically do what you want to do, right? So how much of like the Made in Chelsea stuff was like, you didn't feel like you came across as you?
It's constructed in the sense that every scene is constructed, so you're still saying your own words, but there were
prompted.
I don't know if I can say this, but there were times when it was like, we really want to rap, and they're like, if you say this, you'll be able to rap. Can I say that?
You can say that. I don't know, reality TV, it's like heavy on the soul.
Are you pleased you did it?
Yeah, I am. But at the same time, it's one of these things where it's like a shortcut into this this industry. Mm. And it's also then, once you're then kind of known as this person who did Made in Chelsea, and that's fine and great, and I'm proud of my roots, but it's also like it's a long road round that to kind of people to go, okay, they have more to their bow, whatever it is. Mm. I think reality TV is a great thing to do, but you get, I mean, and also, man, we were just drunk all... the time.
Yeah, yeah. You're always in great places and great holidays.
Just
like,
drunk. Or we drank so much. I remember in the south of France, we saw you guys at the hotel. Mm. We saw you guys there, and we was a mate. We got
but
to
we
travel.
Had a big fight that day. Do you remember?
I think we did.
We stormed out.
Yeah,
I think we did.
I must have just said something really
Pete
wrong.
Pete loves a storm out.
Does he? Oh wait, give me the. Do you storm out? Are you storm out?
Well, it's only because she'll just continue until it comes to the point where I'm like, I just got to go.
He loves a door slam and a storm out.
is that how you end it? Is that how you...
Yeah, and you know, and then he'll just like ignore me for a few hours, and it drives, and I'm like 9 million missed calls.
What am I like in an argument?
You're like 9 million missed calls for me, and I'm pretty door slam.
No, you make.
I would love to be door slam, but I just can't hold my tongue.
If he didn't talk so much, I would not be able to hold my tongue. But because he over talks to me, I'm like, well, I can't get a word in. I revel in the fact that I dress in silent because I can see it eating alive. Mm.
Sometimes, honestly, I understand. Like, I understand how like people can kill each other. Like literally, because there have been times when if we were on that dark road and we had a big argument, I was like, you rev me up. So like this morning, prime example. I wake up in the morning. She
would rain it.
Yeah, she gets up at like, it's like six in the morning, right? 6 in the morning. And I'm like, fine, okay. And she's like, I'm going to the gym. And I said, can I
go to the gym this morning?
Yeah.
Go girl.
And well, I'm like, can I come with you? And she's like, no, you're going to be too late. I'm going to go. So I went, okay, fine. No worries. So she goes to her gym. I go to my gym a little bit later. So I go to the gym because she's woken me up. I'm literally just started my workout. And suddenly I get a call from her. And she's like, where are you? And I'm
like, don't talk like that anyway.
Okay, sorry. Where are you? Where are you? And I'm like, I'm in the gym. She's like, well, I don't have my key. And I'm like, What? She said, oh, you said you were going to the gym at mine. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't say that to you this morning. We had this big old argument about the fact that then I have to come back from the gym to hand her the key. And all she then says is, oh, sorry, I did that. And I'm like, well, my day's
I think that's fine. You said sorry.
Yeah, I said sorry.
You
and I also, it's scary being locked outside your house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's I had worst. To get ready. Yeah. I was panicking. I was like, we're going to be late. I need to get ready. You need to come back now immediately with the key. And then he walked in. I said, sorry.
Immediately.
I said, immediately. He was like, I'm at the gym. I said, well, you need to get home.
Yeah.
Did you go back to the gym?
No.
No. So I didn't have time.
Did you get a workout in or not?
No. I stepped onto the running machine. I got a call, and then we argued for 10 minutes. I could have run while arguing to her, and then argued for 10 minutes.
You should have run while arguing.
Yeah. And then I get back. You get your key, and you're all happy.
Yeah.
And then you just
happy wife, happy life. You should know that by now.
Yeah. See.
Do you win at arguments or do you not win?
I just give up in the end. Yeah. Really. Yeah. So I just kind of give up.
Really. Like. At all, do we?
No, we don't really.
But you just have, like, you know, if I push it, he says, I'm the only person who can make him angry on earth. And when he goes, that's...
Because if someone's like, you just avoid them, don't you? If someone's really annoying you or something, you just go, oh, he's a twat, and walk off. You know what I mean? You know, like, I don't have anything to do with him. When you live with someone, you know what I mean? you can't get away.
You call
me a twat? So, I mean, like, if you're in one of those kind of moods, like, sometimes I say to the kids, my mum's... Mum's in one of those.
No, because it just annoys me.
And we just all avoid her.
No, because Pete always loves to be good cop. I'm like, no sweets until you've done your homework and had your dinner. And Pete will just walk in with like a freaking Willy Wonka with loads of sweets, giving them.
But I don't know. I don't see that.
You can't do
comment.
That. Like,
you know, no sweets.
All my efforts.
Willy Wonka.
What a velvet suit.
Yeah. Big Willy. God. But I am more structured in our house and Pete's just very laid back. Like lockdown, for example, when I'm trying to teach 4 kids homeschool and Pete's like, science, fuck science, let's go in the pool. And I'm like, no, Pete. So they all think he's great and I'm the devil. At times.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. You're like the fun dad.
Yeah, but like it's hard, especially if I've been out all
Miss
day.
Miss Trunchbull. I am Miss Trunchbull.
She is a bit.
My daughter says to me, Mum, you're a mixture between Miss Honey and Miss Trunchbull. I'm like, great.
I heard on your podcast when you talked about the, because the same thing happened to you when you were cleaning loads before, is that Soph has a bit of OCD sometimes, but I heard that you have a Hoover that you can hear. you hoovering in like different rooms, and you're like, oh my god, she's hoovering again.
Yeah, what the kids say. Mom, put on medium. 4 year old. Boy's only four. He goes, Mom, medium. You can't hear the telly.
I've got two dogs. I like the house to be clean.
All day.
And it's never clean, but I'm just always hoovering. Like I've worn the wheels off my last Dyson.
Yeah, but that's the same. So, do you remember when you were going through that? You had this OCD bit where you just
can you stop calling it an OCD phase? We just like to live in clean. I dust on the floor and it's dog hairs.
You were following me, honestly. And then there was a bit where I got scared. I was like hiding in the room because she was like trying to get in because it was messy. And I was like, please don't come in. Leave me. And I'm holding it shut. It was intense.
Yeah, it's like a constant kind of drone. It's like constant the M25 home. Or something. You know what I mean? It's like a constant kind of hoovering at all times. It never stops.
Closer and
then all of a sudden it gets closer and you go, fucking hell. And then it goes away again.
And then it comes back.
It makes me happy.
I know. I don't interrupt it.
A clean house makes me happy. And that's like you know, when Peter's a day off and he wants to do something fun, he will go to play golf. I like to empty my wardrobes out and organise things. And that's just who I am.
My problem with that, though, is that I went to golf. I said, right, we got day off today. What do you want to do? And she said, I want to really empty these wardrobes. And I went, well, I'll play golf then. Perfect. So then we came back. And then she said, but emptying these wardrobes all fucking day. And I went, that was your decision. You made a key decision there. Right at the start, this is what I'm going to do. This is the section where we do the weekly wine, where we sit down and we just get something off our chest that's been bugging us about our partner. This week, have you got one for me?
Don't come to me first because I need you to prompt mine.
Okay.
Our guests can go first.
I've got a big one. And I find this is really unfair. You did it to me again last night. Well, so we watched this, what were we watching last night? That TV show, what's it called? Aquarius?
Oh, Aquarius, really.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Californication?
Yes. And that, David Duchovny.
He's like a detective, and it's on the case of.
It's about Charles Manson, it's the guy. Yeah, yeah, this
I've
thing.
Seen that. Yeah.
So Sophie's watching the thing. I'm watching with her, and she. I reckon you said about eight times. You're like, he's just honestly. I've never been more attracted to a man in my life, and I'm.
I truly am in this house. I can't say that.
So I don't mind it.
Don't tell him that.
No, but I don't mind it. So I'm just going like, all right, fine. Yeah, he's like Hollywood. He's like, all right, whatever.
He's also like quite old now. He's like nearly 60.
He also looks nothing like me. Like, I couldn't be more opposite. So anyway, there's that. So I'm sitting there just taking... eight times the things I'd let him. And I'm like, honestly, and I'm just going, all right, well, like, so I'm just thinking, all right, fine. And then she goes, who do you find really sexy? Who do you? And I'm
going,
that's a loaded question, though, that surely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't ever answer that.
Thank you. So I'm going, so I'm sitting there in my head going, anyone. I say it's gonna. So yeah. I go. I don't know. And she goes.
You were so defensive already. You're like, why are you asking me?
Because of your.
Then it made me want to ask you more.
Okay. Well, your reaction exactly plays it. So I'm just going. Well, I don't know. And she's like, come on, you must.
No, you just tried someone and try to change the subject.
You must someone. And I was like, I don't know. I'd like. Maybe it's a bit cliche. I don't know. Like that guy, Emily Ratajkowski. She went. And I went, and she went, oh, you're gross. I was like,
you're gross.
She said so much done.
Yeah. I was like, your ass, so cliche.
And then I was like, what? Okay, I was like, fine. Like,
I can't believe you went with her.
What is the actual answer, though? Seriously.
Yeah,
like,
right?
If you don't answer it.
If I'd said Meryl Streep, I think it would have been all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Meryl Streep. Helen Mirren.
Yeah, Pete went mad at me. Pete like wouldn't talk to me for like a few days. So watching you saw on my phone me and Kaz like pairing over the Vikings.
Like, you know what they were saying. You know what I mean? It was like, you know,
the Viking show.
Vikings and all that.
And I said, oh, you're good. Like, you're just like into Vikings. What's this all about?
You're like, human. Absolutely I couldn't believe it.
So I know, yeah. I came home in a Viking suit. Yeah.
Shut up. Like,
have you ever seen Only Fools and Horses when Rodney wears the gladiator outfit?
Yeah, it's like that.
That's what I look like as a Viking.
You think I fancy Timothy Chalamet, don't you?
Yeah, you don't stop
I don't,
talking
I
about
love
him. Yeah, she,
I think
like,
he's so unique.
We met him.
I know.
Yeah, she was fuming about that. She saw you.
Okay.
I was like, what, bitch?
Okay. Abby, I'm going to tell you this just quickly. So we're on stage.
This isn't true. This
we're on stage. It's like so many of those cameras on us. We're doing our presenting. We're mic'd up. Timothy Chalamet comes on and he's like talking to us and he's leaning in and he's...
Did you just lick him?
He gives a look. He gives a look at Sophie. Gives Sophie a look like that and he walks up.
Did you get the look?
Yeah.
What's the fucking
it's
look?
A fucking look.
I said...
It's nonsense. He was handing back a microphone.
No, the look. Girls know if a guy does a double take at you.
Yeah,
because you do it to girls.
Oh yeah, you do
that
it.
That is not it's true.
Yeah. Backwards what's looking the look? At us oh, when they go...
Yeah, oh, that you know, if you're in like... say a clothes shop and I'll see Pete and I'll see a good looking girl and I'm like, I'm going to see if he looks at her now and then he does the whole, I'm picking a bag up. I'm like, you've just fucking looked
true.
At her.
That is
look,
not
we
true.
We drive it around London.
I'm going to pour this water over your head.
I'm driving and Jamie's, and I see a fit guy walking down the street and I think, let's see if he sees it. I'll see him on his own.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
It's hard.
Clockwork.
It breaks my heart, that look.
It wrenches me
inside.
You know, having said that, right, you've just said to Sophie there, did you lick his face?
That was a joke. Girls, what is going on here? Pete?
You just said to him, did he give you the look? And you're going, yeah.
Cheering.
Oh, okay, so
we're standing there, micro pressure. She's like, oh, he fancies you. I'm like, hello,
everyone.
He definitely
does.
She said that in my ear. And then as he walked off, he went, well, he's got it. And I was like, that's a wrap, everyone.
Jay, you kept going, please.
Yeah. You're telling Timothy Chalamet's got it as he's walking on stage and I'm standing there next to your husband. You're going, he's definitely got it.
The thing is, he's just, you know, Pete, where
unique,
were we, John?
Unique was the word
Pete,
she keeps calling
Pete stormed
he's
out
so
the room.
Unique.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, when we were in that Estelle Manor, yeah. Pete stormed outside, slammed the door because I kept saying he was unique.
So did you say the word fucking unique one more time?
He is unique. He's so unique. I've so never unique. Seen a face like it. He's the most incredible actor of our generation. His hair.
His hair. It's unbelievable.
But I don't fancy
so
him
much
at all.
Out there in that hair.
Emily Ratajkowski's unreal.
Yeah, though, yeah. Do you know who's unique and about it? Kylie Jenner, she's unique. She is unique. Yeah, she's unique. She's a powerhouse. I actually admire her. I think she's a powerhouse. Do you know what? And she's who else is? I'm gonna be
Ivan
on a... Yeah. That was a bit of a tone, just slightly very on the serious side.
Well, so the weekly wines have escalated. Oh, I reckon let's move on.
I've got a weekly wine to you, actually, Jay. Can't call Jay.
No,
Jamie's
Jay.
Jay.
I don't mind.
So my favourite biscuit is a rich tea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're so pale now.
Are they?
They're like undercooked.
Yeah, everything.
Have you heard about this? There's been a lot of debate in the household about undercooked rich teas.
They're undercooked?
Yeah. They're not so white.
They've changed.
They're white now. They used to be like a nice coffee colour.
Yeah, but we talked about it on this podcast and then they went back to being browner.
Do you think that?
I feel like we've had an impact.
You may have actually had an impact on it.
I think we did.
But rich tea are...
They then changed the colour to a little bit more golden.
Yeah.
I know, like an
extra minute in the oven.
Rich teas are buying.
Rich teas are crap.
No, really? I love them.
Yeah, are you think of rich tea?
I like a rich tea finger.
I like a rich tea with icing on top. If you just put icing, sugar and water and then you put it over the rich
tea. Over a hobnob?
No, rich tea.
Rich teas.
Yeah, but... you would have a rich tea over a hobnob?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm a rich
taker. Yeah, I don't get that either.
I love them. You're a Viennese whale kind of guy.
I do like a Viennese whale.
That little side wing.
He loves them.
Top notch.
He loves the Viennese whale.
Yeah,
that's my weekly wine, if we can do something about it. Because I don't want to bake my own rich teas when I bring them home.
We can do that. We can make that happen.
Thank you.
What is your week? Do you have a weekly one about me? I don't think you probably do.
I think you've covered a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I think you've hit back a few times, haven't you?
Do you have this in the bed as well? Okay. Sorry.
Maybe you need to dial it down a little bit.
Okay. Well, in bed.
Take a breath.
In bed, also, do you have it? Is your bed quite big? Do you have a big bed?
Yeah.
You got
it? Okay. Well, it's got me in it. So we've got like 8 foot bed, yeah.
Are you close to each other at night? Is that?
Yeah.
You close to, okay.
So you're going to look like an idiot saying this.
No, the difference is when we're close to each other, which I like, when you then.
When I go to sleep, we separate.
Oh, she doesn't. No, she likes
no
to.
No separation.
She
I like touching at all times.
She wants me to touch her at all times. But now what she's done is she's become She's gone diagonal in bed. So like this.
Across you.
Across
over you.
Literally over me. So I actually...
Ab does that.
I do
to
that.
Crawl up in the thing. And I try and move it. And honestly, it's like moving an anchor. You can't... you're like rooted.
I've done that. She's tiny.
You are. You're rooted to the bed. And I can't...
Sometimes I sleep on the side table. Like so I put the pillows, so it's not as like hard. But I sleep, I'm basically on the side.
I have to have the table. You do that?
I get a bit of lamp involved.
But I have to have, like, even if I'm like away from them, I have to have like a foot or something touching.
But that's what I like. I don't want to be smothering you, but just the foot on top of your leg.
Yeah, so you know that he's there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite nice, I think.
I think that's nice. That's a wine.
Oh, it's just hot. And you're just...
I'm not that hot. You need to... Yeah.
You are, honey.
Yeah. It's just the constant bum touching. That's
it. No, I don't. I like a hand on my back.
You like a cold bum.
I certainly do.
Wait, what's a cold bum?
Bums are always cold.
Doesn't everyone?
Have you not touched your own bum?
Is it cold?
Bums are always cold.
Sophie's nipples are always cold.
Yeah, bums are always cold. Like if you touch your bum. Bum cheek.
No, it's not.
It is. But it might not be now because we're sitting on like a comfy couch. Yeah.
But when you're lying and it's very,
cold bum.
Yeah, it's nice. Your bum in general is nice. It doesn't matter if it's warm or cold, to be honest.
Right, audience wines.
Why do all kids' toys either A, create loads of mess, B, create loads of noise, C, create loads of noise and mess, D, take about 3 hours to set up? The amount of Christmases I've had ruined because my kids are crying. I can't figure the instructions out. Then for the missus to flip her lid when they wrecked the house she has spent the past 2 weeks cleaning is demoralising.
Cool story, bro.
Is that just a... You haven't got kids, so we'll move straight on.
No, but we have nephews. The problem, kids' toys are... When you go to, they're everywhere. Mm. They're like every... When becomes the limit when you buy kids too many toys?
Yeah.
You need a playroom. But for Christmas, we had to give everything away to charity and friends and then buy the exact same thing.
Because they need to open presents for Christmas. So that's where it all... Because birthdays, presents, you can't not get them something to open. Do you know what I mean? So it's so that's where the constant build comes.
That silicone doll. My daughter wanted a baby with a real belly.
I was Googling silicone dolls. Almost came home with something really fucking different.
She wants a real belly.
Instead of a cloth belly, a skin belly.
What do you do with it?
I have cloth bellies.
A baby Annabelle would be hard, a hard plastic body and hard plastic legs and arms. But she wanted a lifelike stomach.
Silicone, yeah. I said I was Googling it.
Do you know how many dolls
really
I bought?
I want a doll with a lifelike
body. But Liberty's really, really maternal. She really looks after the boys. She loves looking after dolls. She's always looking after everyone.
She's
a warrior. You know, if there's Johnny's on the top swing or something she's always worried about what they're doing. She's got a heart of gold, you know?
That is sweet.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, so she's the one who likes the baby.
What about the boys? Will the boys play football? Are they playing football?
I'd like them to play. Just because I think it's just something I've always kind of thought that I would do is take, the boys to football. But if they're not into it, that's fine.
I take them because Pete's working over weekend and I don't know any of the lingo. So I'm like, run, pass. And there's three pitches and they're supposed to go that way and that way. My two run diagonally across all three pitches and they've got crouch on the back. So Pete's like, you need to get that my name off the back of their shirts because I can't
disown them.
I can't have people knowing that they're my children and they're that bad at football. But they're only 4 and 5.
Yeah, they'll get there.
They will get there.
When do they start? When do they start as kids start going okay, we're going to...
Well, some of the kids are already bangers into it. And amazing is the little boy in Johnny's class who is like Ronaldo. He is sensational. But as Dad said, he lives and breathes football, where ours are just not there yet. But Pete didn't start till he was 9.
Well, I joined the team when I was 9, but all I can remember is just kind of loving it. You know, that's all I remember was just that's all I wanted to do. It was people were playing computers. I was out all day. Just kicking a ball around.
Wasn't it different back then where it was
you did play in the street then?
You could play in the street, and it was Like now it's like the people who...
There are so many things to do now.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions.
But I wouldn't let my kids play in the street now.
No. We had a park behind the house. So I was lucky that respect. But yeah, no, I was out there on my own. Like from the moment it got light to the moment it got dark.
You can't do that now.
And I was fuming when it got dark. It was like, really? Yeah, I was angry about being dark. Yeah. And then my mum called me in for dinner and I was like, no! Like, so desperate just to be out there all day. No!
That's why it's so good.
No! Not dinner, no!
On your hands and knees, it's raining. No!
Like Rambo.
Wait, but hang on. But would you, this one question. So, but I feel like now it's like so competitive as well, right? Yeah. Because like...
Wait, so I feel like it's almost everyone can see kind of what you can get out of it. And, like you know, like...
It's like Big Brother contestants nowadays.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah. I mean, obviously the kids still love it, but I think the parents is obviously a huge factor for them. You know, a Premier League player now, I mean, it's a way out for everyone. The whole family can kind of live comfortably now.
Yeah,
there's a kid around here who's been taken out of school and just does football all day.
What?
Yeah, so they're just drilling him. You're going to be he's very good, isn't he?
He's actually very good. But
would they know he was good, or would they just really like good. That? Yeah. That's a lot, though, isn't it?
It's a lot. Imagine
they don't. You know,
also, it's a lot of pressure. You know, like if it doesn't work out, I mean, what?
And he can't do his timetables.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. When we have a kid, I'm going to say here's three things. Here's a football. Here's a golf club, here's a tennis racket, pick it. And then I'm going to pick it and I go, right, here we go.
Drill you.
Yeah, I'm going to honestly drill you from the second.
But Pete's so relaxed with ours because I think, you know, as a child, he was, you know, his dad was very kind of, you know, militant with you, wasn't he? And, you know, you've got to practice, you can't stop. So Pete's like the complete opposite with ours. He's like, I can't, they have to love it before I get involved to teach them.
Yeah.
A completely different approach.
Yeah, I loved it, and there was a decision of like, if you want to do this, then it's going to be tough, and I'm going to push you to the points where you're not going to like it. But if you want to do it, that's what I'm going to do. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So I did kind of want it, but yeah, it was tough at times.
Was it really tough at times?
Where I was
it's
like,
at times,
really.
But I wouldn't be where I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I needed that. So I don't.
Most footballers have had a similar story, a similar path. Yeah.
There's always someone that's pushed. Yeah. You think about when you were, 16, 17, everyone's going to parties, everyone's socialising. Yeah, I was probably the most dedicated I've been in my entire life at that age.
Really?
Between kind of 14 to 20, when everyone's, I was like, no
that
parties,
discipline
no,
is
no.
wild.
Yeah, but you know, like it was like my dad would just put it in my corner. He would say things like, "Yeah, you go to the party, yeah, no worries." And he said, "Do you think the other lads are doing that?" And I'll go, "Oh," and he'd like plant a seed. And
I'd
go,
I would be the opposite. Nah. I'd be like, "So,"
plant a seed. So if you go, go.
Still serious discipline.
Yeah, and then I'd be like, "Nah, maybe they're not." And he said, "You know, it's up to you." No, those ones, and I just never did. Yeah, I was like, "No, I want to play well."
So when you started dating Pete, then was your dad a big fan of? Was
my dad is a huge Liverpool fan.
How did you break it?
My dad thought I was like a complete tart for going out with a footballer, and all his friends were just gonna like rip him in the pub, and it would last 2 minutes, and then now he prefers Pete to me.
Really?
Yeah, we're such a close family, and he's me dad.
Obviously, he's great. No, like, I just don't think he thought it was going to last. You know what I mean, he said his mate's going to rip him. You know, nothing's going to come of it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but be tainted.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
Right, so this is the point where we get into the agony abs. This is where we, well, usually Abby helps people out, and I join in sometimes as well. But you, listen, you got, if you've wrote one in this week, you've got four for the price of two.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, Abby, Pete, Jamie and Sophie. I'll add your names on that as well. I have an agony ab. It's not about my relationship, but one of my close friendships. I'll begin by saying this. At the start of this running prank, even I could see the funny side of things, but it started to take the piss a bit now and spill over to other parts of my life. Basically, a couple of months ago, one of my eldest and closest friends had the genius idea of putting a fake advertisement up on things like Facebook and Gumtree. Then rather than attaching their contact details to the ad, they'll put up one of ours. He will put these as giveaways or for ridiculously low prices because someone has been offered a job abroad and needs to get rid of everything out of their house quickly, etc. Past advertisements include American-style fridge freezers, curved TVs, and even unexpected litter of puppies.
This guy's got a lot of time on his hands.
As I said, initially this was quite good banter. We all had a laugh, but now the joke's running a bit thin. I'm getting pissed off at having field hundreds of calls and texts regarding ads I've never posted. This includes the working day or when I'm trying to chill on the weekend. How do I stop without sounding like a bore? Even better, how do I get them back? I've already done the same back to them, but it annoyingly doesn't seem to bother them. And I don't want to fuel this fire that even further. Pete from Nottingham.
How do you get them back?
Oh.
You do?
They give their number to an estate agency, loads of estate agencies. And then they'll call them.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking for a house. We've got you this house. You know how estate agents nice. Call you yeah, constantly.
Yeah, all day. Yeah. You're in the market.
That's how you get
it. Wait, sorry, I'm confused. You give what? You give
the. So you give the guy who's put the ad up his number to loads of like John D. Woods. Mm. Nine Frank.
Just name another one.
Dexter. and then off you go and you give lists of all these houses and all the different. And so the estate agents will constantly call them up.
That's good.
That's good.
Okay. I like that.
That's not bad, actually. Okay, well, I can't trump that.
Straight off the cuff as
well. Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable.
You've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you're close enough to your friend, you could just say,
"I
would stop. Like,
what are you
this
doing?
Is ridiculous."
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you would think sound boring if you said that.
God, a litter of puppies and all that. Like, Jesus Christ. We had a secret Santa at Liverpool once, and one of the lads, he hadn't been seen with a girl much. So one of the lads bought him an actual bird.
a real bird.
A canary. Said like, because no one's seen you with a bird ever.
Hilarious.
What did he do with that little bird?
I used to travel in with him as well, and I was like, it was a bit frosty. At first I was like, I don't know what to say. I was like, and he went, what are we going to do with this fucking bird?
Oh.
We went to the pet shop, dropped it off.
You got Rafa Benitez that year, didn't you?
Yeah.
And
you know
he's like famous for them, like leather, long leather coats.
He's not famous for them, but he started buying like leathers that year, and we bought him a leather.
And we bought him the Jose Mourinho How to Be the Best Manager book. Pete never played again.
I bought him, it was a Jose Mourinho How to Win the League or something, and obviously we hadn't won the league.
And you were like, ah!
Yeah. I know, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I did say this to you. I said to you, what pet would you want if you could have any pet apart from a dog?
Do you not have pets?
We have a dog. And I said, what pet would you have? Sophie wants to get a dolphin and put it in the swimming pool and just jump in and stroke it.
Wouldn't
that
be gorgeous?
You and Johnny would get on well.
A dolphin.
Get a mermaid as well.
A dolphin in the swimming pool, just pet it.
No, I said a bearded dragon.
They're nice. That's more attainable.
Yeah. And
was that a real thing, a bearded dragon?
Yeah, they're like a lizardy, like a iguana-y thing. Lizard.
Was it?
Yeah. Like fun to just...
There's a dragon with a beard.
They feel slightly like that baby. They feel very silicone-y.
All right, another one here. I will remain anonymous. I love it when they're anonymous. They're always good. As this message has the potential to destroy lives,
oof,
apparently.
Here we go.
I know this may sound a bit brash, but I love having sex.
No, I love having sex in the morning.
No, full stop. I love having sex, full stop. In the mornings, before work, nipping home for a quickie at lunch, after date nights, any time, any place, anywhere. Like most men, I never, I knew it was a man.
I know.
I was hoping.
I know.
Like most men, I never used to be fussy about whom with either. But 3 years ago, I decided I would put all of my love into one box. Well, I didn't write this, I'm sorry. She, like me, is fairly rampant. We're getting married in March 2024. You're both invited to the wedding, by the way. I was chatting to my dad and some of his pals, and they've told me that my days of sending out for sushi are numbered. This is a disgrace. As a self-proclaimed freak in the sheets, is it possible to continue boarding? No.
Read it.
Is this a real message?
Read it.
Fucking hell.
Is it possible? Fuck off.
Go on, get it out.
Is it possible to continue boarding the beef bus?
I'm sorry. Has someone written this in?
Boarding the beef bus.
We have got some freaky fans, you know?
Once a week. Or do I have to accept my miserable fate of cleaning cobwebs out the womb room? No.
Cleaning
on birthdays, basically. Okay.
The rest of my sad life.
Oh my god! Basically, does he settle when he's rampant?
Does he settle, or is he saying does sex diminish once you get married?
No, we all know it diminishes when you get married. that's not half the debate. That's not the debate here at all. We all know that.
We all know that.
He's just saying,
Should he settle or should he not settle?
What, with a woman or for one woman to have sex with?
He's basically saying that he likes to go out and have sex all the time. But is it better to just settle and have one person?
Yeah. No, I think he needs to... I don't think he's going to be good with one person.
No, I agree.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's... Well, not with some of his language.
I think he should go and see like a sex therapist.
Same.
The beef...
Not when he's calling a woman a beef brisket.
A beef brisket?
He's talking about the beef bus.
Yeah, it's like a Texan bus? Barbecue. What is that? Beef brisket?
No.
Well... He needs help. Let's be honest. Same. He does need,
yeah,
he needs some sort of help.
I don't get that when people say I'm a sex addict.
I don't understand.
You thought you said at one point because you said because you would get, you would be naked and I'd get all.
I said you need to go get help. You've got a sex addiction problem.
because you would walk around naked and you thought that.
I didn't walk around naked. I'd come out the shower and a bit of my skin would be showing.
Don't shirt. Cover up. Cover everything up.
That is so annoying for a girl though, like especially when you get out the shower and you're trying to put your makeup on and get ready. Like, I've had to ban Pete from coming near me in that area.
But then again, if I walk straight past her when she's naked, right, I'm going to be trolled for that as well.
Exactly.
By not looking.
Yeah, because we're like, well, hold on, what's wrong with me?
I've never told you for not looking at me.
You have. No, like what if I look? No, but if I come and touch you and you're completely naked.
Yeah, I go mad.
Why?
If I
walked straight past you and didn't even look at you when you were naked, that would be worse.
That'd be fantastic because I could get ready quicker.
That'd be fantastic.
I'd get ready quicker and then we'd be able to have
you wouldn't like that.
I've never noticed that though.
Yeah, that's never happened.
That's never happened.
That's very true.
Not yet.
All right. One more.
Let's send this perv to get some help.
Yeah.
No. I don't think one woman's for you, mate.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, keep boarding that bus, mate.
Beef bus.
Wow. Yeah, okay, one more. As animal lovers, you might be able to help with this. I'm newly married and trying for a baby with the most amazing man I've ever met. But there's a problem. His best mate, Mike, the English bulldog, seems to think we're in a throuple trying for puppies. When I'm ovulating, there's nothing more off-putting than catching Magic Mike in the corner of the room putting his lipstick on his lipstick. Disgusting. When we try to exclude him, he barks and scratches the door non-stop, leaving us no choice but to let him in the room. My husband loves him so much. He says, don't worry, he's harmless. But then the heavy breathing and him humping his teddy at the same time are not what I've signed up for. My hubby has had Mike longer than we've been together.
That's
and it's
a
his
tough thing, though.
And it's his baby. So giving him away is not an option. All logical solutions...
giving him away?
All logical solutions have failed. Do you have any creative ways where I can get this climax killer out of the bedroom and get my bonk beats playing?
What do you think you do?
That's tough. I wouldn't want to be having sex with a bulldog near me either.
No.
Really? You wouldn't?
Like heavy breathing, no.
No.
Yeah,
any that, animal? Like,
any animal.
We don't let our pets upstairs apart from the cat because she's 20.
Maybe they need to implement some rules like that. Maybe try and just have an honest conversation and be like, it really is really off putting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
But I think that's a tough one if you've got a man who with a dog.
Yeah, but
if you meet a man with his own dog before...
I would feel jealous.
I would.
You'd feel jealous? Yeah. People are weird with their dogs. My mum's dog is bizarre. My mum has this little terrier and if you finish like lunch or it's dinner, if you finish dinner with around the table, the dog every single time comes in hot in its mouth with this red towel and my mum goes, oh God, and holds it up in the air like it's... I just holds it like that.
So it's
and the dog shags it. And then my mum sort of moves it up and down, and then it finishes.
She encourages it.
She basically gives the dog a wank.
Wow.
And then she throws the towel away and it walks off every single evening around 8 in the evening after like dinner or 9 in the evening. It's
mad.
Bizarre.
That is bizarre. Quite bizarre.
And she goes, oh, all right.
And
then
when she bathes, it's like you have to give in to like your babies, and it's like, remember that time, John? No, John lost his virginity in my mum's house and had the condom. Had the condom in a knot under his bed. My mum's got two little morkies and they were playing like tug of war. So my mum like can't see a thing. And then she was like, what's that? Grabbed it and it was that. So she put it, laid it on his bed for when he came home from school. To be like, what is this?
Oh, and you, the fear when you walked in to see that.
Jerry asked, you asked Sean about what do I need to do about
sex.
And we said, well, you need to go and buy some condoms. So obviously Sean's took him down to the supermarket, right? And he said, obviously they're just in the aisle, aren't they?
Yeah.
But he's like, well, what do I have to do? And he goes, you got to go and ask the girl and... on the till. Where you've got to go and ask the girl on the till. You go over to the girl, on the cashier. She goes, sorry, you have to explain your situation. He has to explain his situation. He's going, sorry, I'm thinking about having sex with my girlfriend.
You nearly kicked that over.
We've been together like 3 years now.
You know what you came out with? You know, he came out with a packet of JLS condoms.
Yeah, the JLS ones.
Green.
JLS on them. Just he had a riche on the front.
A riche.
Unbelievable. It was an absolute stitch up.
Yeah, that is
keep
so,
that one, though.
That
like,
is
if
so...
I ask you about
that
it.
Is my cheeks out.
I can't wait till my boys are older so I can do it to them.
Yeah, if you can explain your situation.
My boys will not be having sex with anyone, thank you.
Girls just there, just trying to get through the day. I'm thinking about having sex with my girlfriend. We've been together.
Do you know what? It's a good thing that you were responsible, John.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Like you're doing all the right things, mate. Right, Jamie, Sophie, it's an absolute pleasure. Obviously, your podcast is flying, and we can see why. It's a great, got a great connection, great people. We've loved having you on. And hopefully you'll come on again.
Thanks.
If Timothy Chalamet ever gives you that look again, ditch him.
Oh my God. He's just got it. What does that even mean?
So unique.
So unique. I mean, what? Emily Ratajkowski is...
No.
Okay.
Shut up.
But you guys are going to come on our one, right?
100%. Yeah, we can't wait.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Problem. Can't wait. Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks for coming on. You've been great. And, we could have talked all day.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We'll do, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.